Hallelujah. Wonderful opportunity to share Yahweh's word. Let us come before Almighty Yahweh with humble hearts and humble minds. Gracious and kind Almighty Father Yahweh, we thank you so much that you allowed us another opportunity to be here. We thank you for all those that are tuning online. We also thank you for all the brethren, Almighty Yahweh, that have heard your call and are here right now, Almighty Yahweh. They want to hear words from you, Almighty Yahweh. So I pray that you would be with your servant, inspire the message, Almighty Yahweh, that anyone out there, Almighty Yahweh, even if one person, Almighty Yahweh, would pick up their scriptures and read them, Almighty Yahweh, and desire to learn more, if we can be a help, that would be awesome, Almighty Yahweh. We thank you for the little things that you do for us, and we thank you for the great things that you have in store, Almighty Yahweh. The Feast of Tabernacles, which is a picture of your kingdom, Almighty Yahweh. But first things first, let us enjoy this beautiful Sabbath day that you've given us. Thank you for the musicians, and thank you for all those that are helping out. And we ask a special prayer, Almighty Yahweh, for those on the prayer list, those whom we don't know, and some of those that we do know personally. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would bless all your people, give us health, and thank you for those that were hurting, Almighty Yahweh, and are getting better. And we hope to see many, many faces here at Tabernacles. Almighty Yahweh, we thank you so much for your forgiveness and your mercy. And most of all, we thank you for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who makes all things possible. We thank you for these things, and we ask you these things in the name of your precious Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. I wanted to add, that was an awesome Day of Atonement yesterday. Might have been your first one. Maybe it was number 50. I don't know. There's many people been keeping this for such a long time. I appreciated the fact that with a little preparation, it was, you know, easier to get through it. And, you know, Yahweh does these things. He helps us to prepare just like you prepare for the Sabbath day. When you put in a little preparation, it usually pays off. And I just praise Yahweh for that. I want to share a little riddle I heard the other day. Some of you already might know the answer to it. But what do you call a sleeping bull? Sleeping bull. Bulldozer. A bulldozer. I thought that was pretty cute, you know? You gotta take those in and share them, you know, whenever you get a chance. I titled this, Listen to His Voice, the Voice of Yahweh. It's interesting, you know, Brother Ryan had the topic last week, you know, of this phenomena that's going on. And, you know, we have two choices. We can listen to Yahweh, or we can listen to the adversary. And we know his tricks, but a lot of times we still fall victim to these things. So sometimes on Friday nights I go to sleep. I wake up in a few hours and I can't go back to sleep. That's just the way that it works anyway. So what should I do? Well, I get up, I pray, listen to music, read the scriptures. I mean, you can't go wrong doing that. And so that's how Abba sometimes inspires. Sometimes it's something that happens in life and experience. So I chose, listen to his voice. I took it from a scripture. It's in the Psalms. Of course, you might know this. If you were with YRM way back in the day, we used to actually sing this song. It says, come let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before Yahweh. Well, anyway, we used to sing that song a lot. And it's taken from this psalm, Psalm 95. I'll start reading in verse 7. It says, for he is our Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah and as in the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers tried me, have proved me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways, as I swore in my wrath, if they enter into my rest. We never want to put Yahweh to the test because we know what he's capable of doing. We can read of the Israelites that were above 20 years old. None of them made it into the promised land except two of them because they paid attention to Yahweh and they were humble. And I did find one scripture, Duai Reim, which actually takes that part there where you see, today if you will hear his voice, it puts it into verse 8, which is pretty interesting. And that's what I wanted to key on. Today, not tomorrow, today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It sounds like a simple concept. And this is mostly for people that would be on the outside. Many of us, we read the scriptures. And some even came to Yahshua and they asked him, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he asked them, he says, what does it say in the scriptures? How do you interpret that? You know, the righteous or the people of Yahshua's time, the religious leaders, they had a different interpretation on the Torah. And we were reading in Isaiah 53 today. There's many that interpret Isaiah 53 in a different way than we would see it. But let's continue. I want to go to Hebrews 3:7, and then we'll go through Hebrews 4:7. And what I found interesting about this, nobody knows who wrote Psalm 95, but the writer of Hebrews, he attributes this to King David. And he quotes this, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, therefore, as a set-apart spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me, proved me, and saw my works. Therefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways, as I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. So, as the saying goes, Yahweh said it once in the Psalms, but then we see it repeated over in the New Testament. Again, in Hebrews 4, verse 7, he again defines a certain day, today, saying through David so much later, as it has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. One thing that was interesting about Hebrews 3 and also Hebrews 4, I got up once and I said, you know, when the scripture said that the Holy Spirit speaks, it is synonymous with Yahweh speaking to us. And somebody had a problem with that. And so these scriptures here, you can see that in one verse in Hebrews 3, it says the set-apart spirit says, but then the writer turns right around in chapter 4, and he says that David was inspired. He had the measure of the spirit, you know, and so Yahweh blessed him, and he mentioned these words. So the message is, every day you go before Yahweh, you know that we all sin, and you know that we all fall short, and that's why we need a day of atonement. That's why we need Passover, and we take the emblems. We remember Yahshua's suffering and what he did. And there's some people that have come into this faith, but they have walked away. They gave up a chance at eternal salvation. Who knows if they will turn around and come to the senses? We don't know that. We can't condemn, you know, certain individuals. But the message is that today the message is going out. Yesterday the message went out also. You had a sermon on atonement. So if you heard Yahweh's word and it convicted you to the point that maybe you thought that maybe the speaker wasn't, you know, to your liking, whatever he was saying, go through the scriptures and prove it. And so this is key when we listen to Yahweh's voice. I had three questions when I went through these scriptures. I asked myself these questions. I want to share them with you. We'll see if we can glean something from these scriptures. The scripture says that Yahweh spoke to Moses face to face. So my question is, which Yahweh? What? Do you mean there's more than one Yahweh? How can we hear the voice of Yahweh when Yahshua said, no man has seen him or heard his voice? What's going on here? What is Yahshua talking about? You can find that in John 5:37. Last question. This one came to mind because of some of the other scriptures that I put in here. Does Yahweh harden anyone's heart? Those are three questions. And as we learned while we went to grade school, the teacher's job is to teach. The teacher's job is to study. The teacher's job is to give you information that you can digest and you can put into practice. But the teacher also has questions for the class. Just like when they asked Yahshua, by what authority do you do these things? He said, well, let me ask you a question, and then you answer my question first. I thought, you know, that's the way Yahshua works. You have questions for him? Well, he'll turn around and ask you, well, why haven't you done what I said if you call me master, master? Let's go to Genesis. If you're following along with your scriptures, maybe you're on audio, you can see the PowerPoint. Genesis 3, verses 8 through 10. Genesis 3, verses 8 through 10. This is talking about Adam and Eve. They were there in the garden. Yahweh put them there. And they made a mistake. They sinned against Yahweh. So then they heard the sound of Yahweh, Elohim, walking in the garden at the windy time of day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh, Elohim, among the trees of the garden. And Yahweh, Elohim, called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he replied, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And it continues there, and, you know, Yahweh says, well, how did you know you were naked? What happened? Did you eat of the tree? I told you not to eat of it. And you have that conversation there among them. But the key is they heard Yahweh, Elohim, walking in the garden. Yahweh was there among them. Could you imagine this? Yahweh being among you, walking among you, and you hear him. And you made a mistake. You sinned against Yahweh. He's going to question you on it. What are you going to say? Let's go also to 1 Samuel. I picked three scriptures here. 1 Samuel. Samuel was asked of Yahweh by his mom, Hannah. She didn't have any children. She got ridiculed. So anyway, she asked for a son. She said, well, you know, if you give me a son, I am going to put him to service. So Samuel was there sleeping, and Eli the priest was also there. 1 Samuel 3, we'll take verses 4, 6, and 8. 4, 6, and 8 of Samuel, 1 Samuel 3. Verse 4, then Yahweh called out to Samuel, and he said, here I am. Fast forward, verse 6, and Yahweh called Samuel again. So Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am because you called me. And he said, I did not call you, my son. Go back and lie down. Again, verse 8. Again, Yahweh called Samuel a third time. So he got up and he went to Eli and said, here I am because you called me. Then Eli realized that Yahweh was calling the boy. He actually heard the voice of Yahweh. Again, you go to John 5, where Yahshua said, no man has seen or heard the voice of Yahweh at any time. Isaiah said, I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne. So Isaiah said he saw him, and here we have Yahweh calling little Samuel. And Eli realized, not just once, not just twice, we have the confirmation, right? The scripture says, two witnesses, you need two witnesses to confirm or establish. After this happened, it says that the people knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet because Yahweh called him, not just once or twice, but three times. So we have the question there, who was this Yahweh calling Samuel? Let's go to a couple more scriptures. We'll continue this chase. We're on a chase to see who is this Yahweh. How many are there? Who is this speaking to us? In 1 Samuel, same chapter 3 and verse 21. Then I'll take Genesis 19, 24. 1 Samuel 3, verse 21. And Yahweh appeared again in Shiloh, for Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh through the word of Yahweh. Interesting. Yahweh appeared again. So if you appeared again, that means you appeared at some point before that. Do we have any knowledge of this? Well, we have the scripture, and it's true to the word. So also Genesis 19:24, it says, Yahweh rained down from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from Yahweh. Question. Can Yahweh rain down fire from Yahweh? You're down on the earth and you're raining fire from Yahweh. This was interesting. Elder Randy had shared this sometimes, and that's one of those scriptures. It just sticks with you. You remember it. You know, you have it. It's in your brain. You just go to the chapter. You know where it's at. Well, we do have someone called Yahweh. A lot of us, we believe that this is the pre-existent Mashiach. Sure enough, you can show people these scriptures, they're not going to believe it. There's actually elders in this faith that believe that Satan never been up to the heavens. I mean, have you read the book of Job? It strictly says there, when the sons of Elohim came to meet, guess who came along? The enemy came right along. And that's when Yahweh said, have you seen my servant? And, you know, all these things happened to Samuel. So we have, you know, confirmation here. Question, which Yahweh spoke to Moses face to face? If we analyze these scriptures, we take them at face value, we read around the chapter, we can see that there was another Yahweh besides the one we call Almighty Yahweh. Elohim, there is only one Almighty. But Yahweh does have a messenger that he sent, and his name was in him. And we will see that in other scriptures. Let's continue, because we want to know. I want to know, you know, if Yahweh is speaking to me, I want to know. I want to know if it's him or if it's an adversary or if it's somebody whispering in my ear saying, hey, you know, such and such, you know. Because we're told in the scriptures to test the spirits. We'll see that later. Deuteronomy 4:12-13, Moses speaking to the people. It says, and Yahweh spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard a voice of words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. And he made known to you his covenant, which he commanded you to do, the 10 words, and he wrote them on 2 tablets of stone. So he quoted them verbally, and they wrote them down. So that way you have a remembrance, just like the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day. Continuing in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 30 through 34. Interesting. This is a comfort to the people, not only to them, but also to us. Some of us move from place to place. Some of us move from country to country. And sometimes in the place we were before, we did not know Yahweh. We never heard of Yahweh. You move to a new place, maybe Yahweh grants you an opportunity. Speaking to the people, Deuteronomy 4:30 through verse 34. In your distress, when all these words shall come upon you in the latter days, then you shall return to Yahweh your Elohim, and shall obey his voice. For Yahweh your Elohim is a compassionate El. He does not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. That's why we're still here, because the sons of Jacob are not consumed, it says, Malachi 3:6. For ask now of the days that are past which were before you since the day that Elohim created man on earth, and ask from one end of the heavens to the other end of the heavens, whether there has been a word as great as this, or has been heard like it. Has a people heard the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and live? Or has Elohim tried to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of a nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by battle, and by a strong hand, and by an outstretched arm, talking about that arm in the Bible study, that outstretched arm, and by great fearsome deeds, according to all that Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Mitzrayim before your eyes. So I ask you, and I ask myself, has Yahweh ever done anything like this anywhere else. He took the people out of Babylon, sure. He took the people out of Egypt. But Moses was speaking to them. He was asking them this question, has Yahweh ever done anything like this? This is amazing, but it's also a rhetorical question because there's no Elohim like Yahweh. That's why it says there, ask from one end of the heavens, right? As the psalm says, as far as the east is from the west, north and south, ask, go out there and ask. There's never been anything done like this before. Has Yahweh, you know, it says here through battle, through a strong hand, by signs, by wonders, has he ever done this? He did it to the Egyptians, and this was to show the Israelites his power, to confirm that everything that Moses told them, you know, Yahweh told me to come and speak to you to deliver these words. He's going to deliver you out of Egypt. This is a promise. He told this to Abraham. He said they were going to suffer for 400 long years. They were going to suffer. New Testament says 430, and Yahweh took them out. Yahweh is taking us out. During Feast of Tabernacles, we're going to be here. We're not going to be in the world. Yahweh is going to be teaching us. And Yahweh took them out into the wilderness to teach them about what it was going to be like in the kingdom. But they had to have faith that he was going to deliver them, you know, the promised land. He did it, but many people couldn't go in because their lack of faith. They didn't trust Almighty Yahweh. And so that speaks to us. Let's continue. I have a couple of scriptures here which are not on the PowerPoint, so we'll have to do it the old-fashioned way. Deuteronomy 18:15. Some of you know this by heart. I love this scripture. It's in a couple places. You already know where I'm going with this, and that's beautiful. Some of you have Yahweh's word written on your hearts and on your minds. Somebody quotes a scripture. Oh, I know what that is. Yep. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Somebody said, without knowledge, life is irrelevant. Deuteronomy 18:15. Yahweh, thy Elohim, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Do you know who that is? Deuteronomy 18 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 18 and 19. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So all those religious leaders that claim that they know the Torah back and forth and didn't listen to Yahshua the Messiah, what he said, Yahweh's going to require it of them. That's why there was a message given one time, and the question was, so you want to be a minister, huh? Just remember, when it comes to getting lashes, if we're a minister, we get more lashes if we do something wrong, if we might mislead the people on purpose. We all know that we make mistakes, but it's when you purposely mislead the people. For instance, instead of teaching them the feast days that are in the scriptures, you teach them other feast days which are not, which Yahweh is very offended considering what Yahshua did. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, and again, you know where I'm going with this, but we want to confirm these things. 1 Corinthians 10, you know, Paul was a scripture champion. This man was a lawyer, if you will. He knew the law. He expounded the law. He gave us the right interpretation according to what Yahshua taught him. 1 Corinthians 10, 2 through 4. It doesn't matter if you discredit an apostle or any minister. It just matters if they're teaching you the word correctly, because then it's on you. It's not on them. They taught you correctly. It's on you how you took it. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 2 through 4. It says, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Mashiach, anointed of Yahweh. So you can add that to the list. Who spoke to Moses face to face? If the rock that followed them was Messiah, and they were baptized unto Moses, and they drank the same spiritual drink and ate the same spiritual food, the rock that followed them was Yahshua. That's what he says. So we have an answer to that question. So again, whose voice did Moses listen to? And it said there, I'm going to send a prophet unto you. That was speaking of future tense, but he was coming in the flesh at that time. When he was speaking to Moses, if you go to, I think it's Judges 13, Manoah told his wife, you know, we actually heard Yahweh and saw him in person. We're going to die. And she said, if he didn't accept our sacrifice, we would have died, but he accepted our sacrifice. And so the angel there tells them, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? It's like secret. I don't want to reveal myself yet. Yahshua asked the apostles in some instances, who do people say I am? They said maybe Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he says, but who do you say I am? And sometimes he would tell them, do not reveal who I am just yet, because it's not time. Yahshua was all about timing. He had to be on Yahweh's schedule. He couldn't do things on his own. He couldn't speak his own words, because that's what Yahweh sent him to do. And so it was in the old covenant with Moses. Go to Matthew 17, verse 5. This is an interesting scripture. I still have questions. I asked Elder Randy about this. I asked another elder about this question. They both told me that they gave me the same answer, Matthew 17 and verse 5. Sometimes we forget Yahweh can do whatever it is he pleases, it says in the scriptures. But he can dwell among us right now because of our sinful state, and he knows all these things. Matthew 17, 5, it says, this was the transfiguration. While he yet spake, Peter, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, here, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Same thing as Deuteronomy 18. Listen to him. Well, which one do we listen to, Yahweh or Yahshua? Well, you listen to Yahshua because he's speaking on behalf of Yahweh. And if Yahweh wishes to speak to you directly, he can do that. But the thing is, we cannot go to Yahweh directly the way we are right now. We need Yahshua. We need a mediator. The people could not go to Yahweh directly in the time of Moses. They needed to go through Moses. Why? Because that's the way Yahweh designed it. And so we cannot make it to the kingdom on our own. We always need to acknowledge Yahweh. We always need to acknowledge Yahshua. How does he speak to you? If you didn't hear an audible voice, he speaks to you through his word, through Yahshua's words. That's how he speaks to us. That's why our brothers from the tribe of Judah, they did a great job in preserving the scriptures. If somebody else butchered it, you know, they have to answer for that, but they did the great job of giving us what was most important to us, the Ten Commandments and everything else that is there in the Torah, even those little commandments. Such a simple command of, if we see a bird out there, you know, and she's sitting there with her eggs, you're allowed to take the eggs, but, you know, leave the mom there so she can continue. Such a simple thing. Honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged on this earth. It is a commandment with promise. Yahweh typifies the father. Jerusalem typifies the mother. That's what it says in the scriptures. So this is my beloved son in whom I will please listen to him. Listening to the voice of Yahweh is the equivalent of obeying his word. I don't know if you know this, but we could sit here and read a lot of theory, but when we put keeping the Sabbath into practice, Yahweh gives us more knowledge. Yahweh gives us more wisdom. When a person comes to you and says, do you think this is okay to do on Sabbath? You have your opinion, but then you can go to the word also. Some of the things are just obvious that you're not going to do them on Shabbat, but some things you might be new. You know, I've heard of a couple bringing potluck to atonement. They didn't know. They were new. They thought they knew the feast days and everything, but they didn't know. Somebody gets up, starts cooking eggs on Shabbat. They didn't know. They're new. If you come from a Sunday-keeping congregation, you don't know certain things about the Sabbath, how to keep them. You don't know about the new moons. You never heard of these things. So you obey his word, and he will give you more insight. Also, you take counsel from experienced brothers and sisters that are led by the Spirit of Yahweh. There's brothers here. I can count on them 100% that when I go to them with a scripture question, if they don't know, they're going to tell me flat out, you know what? I don't know. That's new to me. I never heard that before. Let me study it out. I'll come back to you. And if they know, they'll tell me. And sometimes we go around and we ask different brethren to see if we're all on the same page. When we did that study on the unleavened bread, it was so beautiful how pretty much all of us, we didn't speak to each other on what sources we were going to use, and all of us pretty much came to the same conclusion. And it was amazing because the way we saw it, we were going above and beyond what Yahweh has said. Nothing wrong with that. Some want to see signs and wonders, but the Israelites in the wilderness, they witnessed miracles. And so did the religious leaders in Yahshua's time. And what did they do? They scoffed. Every time that Moses would do something, they would go hungry again, they would go thirsty, they would come again and blame Moses for their problems. We have no food, we have no drink. And, you know, Moses got so frustrated. You know, he said, I didn't give birth to all these people. What's going on here? Why do I have to deal with these, with all these people, these rebellious people? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Something interesting there. We have two confirmations here. Yahweh says, you can choose life, or you can choose death. But he, you know, guides us in the right direction. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and also verse 2. It says, Elohim at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So the writer here is confirming what Paul said. He's confirming what Yahshua said and what all the apostles had said. Remember what the scripture says. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And it's interesting that those scriptures from Samuel, if you read in those chapters, like in chapter 3 in Samuel 1, it says that visions were rare in those days. So for Samuel to get that vision of Almighty Yahweh and to hear Yahweh call him, it was pretty rare. And so, you know, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, you're a woman and you can't have children. All of a sudden you have a child, you're dedicated to Yahweh, and Yahweh, you know, he says, okay, I'm going to use him in my service because I know that you were humble and you asked me for this. And so I'm going to bless the child. And not only that, he blessed Hannah with more children. And so that was pretty awesome. Praise Yahweh for that. If we insist on going astray, it's not the Heavenly Father's fault. He cannot sanctify you if you rely on your own power to do his will. Let's go to Psalm 81. Find an answer here. So we looked at who was speaking to Moses face to face, and how is it that we heard the voice of Yahweh when Yahshua said that no one has ever seen or heard. And the apostles had questions too. You know, they said, show us the Father. And Yahshua said, haven't you known me all this time? I'm speaking on behalf of him. Psalm 81, let's take verses 10 through 13. Psalm 81, we'll read verses 10 on down through verse 13. This will answer one of our questions. I am Yahweh, thy Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. So a couple of things here. Yahweh brought the people out of the land of Egypt, but they wouldn't listen to him after all the things he did. Like that song says, this is amazing grace, all that you've done for me, all that Yahshua did for us, all that Yahweh did for us using his firstborn son. How many people here would give their firstborn son or daughter for anyone's sin? I don't know of many. I know a brother, he has six kids. He says, I wouldn't give any of my children for anyone's sins. Can you blame him? But it says here, my people will not listen to my voice. In another version it says, I gave them over to their own stubborn heart. How many chances did Pharaoh, king of Egypt, have to repent? How many plagues did Yahweh hit Egypt with? And the first few Israelites had to suffer through them. How many times? How many? 10. So does Yahweh harden your heart when he gives you 10 opportunities to repent and you don't do it? He says, I gave them up to their own. You want to go ahead? Go right ahead. There's a scripture in the Proverbs, and it's for the youth. It says, you want to do what you want to do? Go right ahead. But keep in mind, Yahweh is going to call you into question. So consider those things. We're called to consider. We don't have to be children. We don't have to be aged individuals. We have to, as some people say, we have to keep our nose clean, right? Some people say, hey, mind your own business. Well, sometimes, you know, our brothers are doing things and we have no choice, you know? Like, let me go real quick to Leviticus 19. I've been trying to memorize Leviticus 19, 18. Good thing. Sometimes I get it wrong, and that's good. Keep me on my toes. Leviticus 19. We know that 18 says, love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. Leviticus 19. But what about verse 17? Leviticus 19, verse 17. It says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So some people say, hey, don't judge me. Why, you're in my business? Are you trying to tell me what to do? Well, you know, sometimes we do things that are wrong, and we need accountability. Yahweh is all about accountability. Remember when Yahshua got lost for a few days and his parents came to get him? They were at the feast. His mom says, what are you doing? We were worried about you. He says, I'm in my father's house. It wasn't like a smart aleck answer. It was that he was doing his duty. He was already starting you know, to get into his ministry, even at a young age. But it says there that afterwards he was subject to them. He knew his place. He knew that he had to show us to honor our father and mother, to listen to our father and mother, to take good advice from people that have experience. I think I have a couple more scriptures. I just love getting into the Word on Friday nights. Very awesome. Sometimes throughout the week, you don't have time to get in there and really enjoy the scriptures, you know, the way you want to. Isaiah 46, verse 12. We studied this chapter some weeks ago. Beautiful how a brother quoted this chapter and took us back to Genesis, speaking about people were going to see the seed of Yahshua. He didn't even have any children, and yet he still has many seeds out there, right? Isaiah 46 and verse 12. Yahweh has asked us. You're probably there before me. Isaiah 46, verse 12. I thought this was excellent. He says, "Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I will bring near my righteousness. It shall not be afar off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Sion for Israel, my glory." Another version says, "Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness." So again, does Yahweh harden your heart? Let's say you are in this faith and at some point you decide, you know what? This is not for me. This is not doing it for me. There's people that come along and do that. They expect Yahweh to pay their bills and give them so many, many things. And when it doesn't happen, you know, they get upset. They turn their back on Yahweh. They blame Yahweh of all people when they're still alive and breathing and have their health. And so he gives you opportunities. If you are stubborn, whose fault is that? So I don't believe that. I believe Yahweh will give you up to delusion if you don't have a love for the truth. But does he harden your heart after giving you Yahshua and after giving you opportunities to come to him? Doesn't it say that, you know, that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us? So if we kind of separate ourselves from him, well, what is he going to do? I mean, he's always there, as the scripture says. Even when we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. That's why we're here, because he made a promise to Abraham. I will leave you with some very awesome scriptures. All of these would just kind of back up everything that we studied here, the three questions that we had. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this will go right into the feast. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. You want to know if Yahweh is speaking to you or not? You want to know if what the minister said was right? Maybe you have, you're hurting or whatever. Pray without ceasing. Now take this in context, because we have things that we have to do throughout the day. But it just means to remain in a mind frame of, you know, always acknowledging Yahweh. In all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the desire of Elohim and Messiah Yahshua for you. Do not quench the spirit. You have a portion of the spirit. We have to build on that. Do not quench it. In another place, it says, do not grieve the spirit. So there's a difference. When we sin, we grieve. When we walk away, you just extinguish the spirit of Yahweh that he gave to you. Do not despise prophecy. Somebody's prophesying, they're speaking to you under inspiration. Don't just say, I'm not going to listen to that. Go to the scriptures or ask them if you have, you know, doubts. What did you mean by this? Do not despise prophecies. Prove them all. Hold fast what is good. Keep back from every form of wickedness. And the Elohim of peace himself set you completely apart, and your entire spirit and being and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Master, Yahshua the Messiah. I mean, you can't close a book with, you know, such, you know, with better words than that. The apostle was inspired. I hope that Yahweh has inspired you to do better. I hope that at some point, if you haven't yet, you hear his voice. If you hear it, listen to it. Pay attention to it. Confirm it. Get your two witnesses. Go to the scriptures. If Yahweh is calling me to do something, if I feel it's not right, then I need to confirm it. If it's right, then I need to go ahead and, you know, put my hand to the plow and not look back. Yahweh has blessed us in many, many ways. I pray that Yahweh has blessed you through this message, especially all those that are listening to us on the audio. Continue to seek his face, as the scripture says. I thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for your attention. You've been very, very kind. May Yahweh bless you.